Hello and how you doing? My name is Kewan Foster and I'm the church planting pastor of Out of Love Ministries. And on behalf of the Out of Love Ministries community of faith, we welcome you and thank you for taking the time to join us. We ask that you consider partnering with us as we partner with God to help spread the message of the gospel around the globe. And you can help us do that by subscribing to our YouTube channel, clicking likes on our videos, and sharing those videos with others. And again, a special thanks to all of those who support this YouTube channel through subscribing and through watching the videos. We really, really do appreciate you. We appreciate your likes when you click on the videos, and we appreciate your comments. Take the time, if you when you watch the video, to leave a comment, any questions you may have in reference to the message that is being preached, or if you simply just wanted to leave a comment about how the Spirit of God moved on your heart during the message. So whatever the case may be, we invite you to leave those comments in the description box. So we continue our sermon series in the book of Nehemiah, you all. And actually, we probably had about maybe two or three more weeks and we're going to be done with the sermon series. Right now, well, last week was part 12. Today is going to be part 13. So for the past 13 weeks, we've been looking at and doing a walkthrough in the book of Nehemiah. Specifically, we focused on chapters 1-6. When we set out to do this walkthrough of the book of Nehemiah, the emphasis and the time that we wanted to spend in the book, kind of walking through very detailed, was definitely chapters 1-6, because we wanted you to have an opportunity to see from the beginning all the way up to the completion of the wall, which is the central, one of the central focuses in the book of Nehemiah, is the completion of the wall of Jerusalem. However, another aspect from chapter 7 moving forward is another rebuilding that is going on in the city of Jerusalem under the leadership of Nehemiah, and that is rebuilding or reconstruction of the people's spiritual vitality, of the people's spiritual condition. And we see Nehemiah undertake that prodigious task as well, with the help of other leaders, such as a contemporary by the name of Ezra, So we're going to go ahead and read Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1-8, That's what we're going to focus on at this moment and at this time. Actually, verses 1-12 in the book of Nehemiah. And then we'll go ahead and pick up from there. Let me see. Well, we may go through 1-18 as I look at that. So let's go ahead and read you all. And the word of the Lord reads as such in Nehemiah chapter 8, starting at verse 1. The Bible says this: "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And behind him stood Mattiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Messah, and his right hand, and Padiah, Mishal, Makajah, Hashem, Hasabanah, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen. And lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jehoah and Benah and Shabariah and Jamin and Akub and Shabbatha and Hodiah and Messiah and Kiltah and Azariah and Jozabad, Hanah, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. On the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they found in it written in the law that the Lord had commanded Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem, go out to the hills and bring branches of olives, wild olives, myrtle palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out, brought them, and made the booths for themselves, each on his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Amen, amen, and amen. As we continue our sermon series, our walk through in the book of Nehemiah, we do so by looking at part 13 as we focus on revival and restoration taking place among the people in the city of Jerusalem. Revival and restoration taking place amongst the people in the city of Jerusalem. This is part 13 in our walkthrough in the book of Nehemiah. Amen, amen, and amen. And so if you have not had an opportunity to watch last week's message, part 12, please do so, because it was in part 12 where we focused on how Nehemiah and the people have finally completed the prodigious task of rebuilding the wall. And so last week we looked at chapter 6, verses 15 through 19. Right now we're jumping to chapter 8. But before we jump to chapter 8, I just simply wanted to share with you the in-between. So once the wall is done, and even when you look at chapter 7 leading all the way up to chapter 8, Nehemiah still understands that there is much work that needs to be done. And I'm going to pause and say this, you all. When God gives you an assignment and you complete that assignment, it's okay for you to rejoice in the Lord. It's okay for you to celebrate that God used you to accomplish that task, but don't get too overly excited because God has a next assignment for you to complete, you all. Come on, somebody. This is why I love those old shows. And I'm being reminded of shows like Highway to Heaven. One of the things I love about that show with the two main characters is every time they complete an assignment, that God gives them. The next episode that comes on, guess what? They're not in the same place they were. They're in a completely geographical location because they have a new assignment that has been given to them by God. They are progressively moving. And what I'm saying is that in your life and in my life, God continues to give us assignments. Don't take too much time standing there trying to celebrate that assignment. You got to get moving because there is work to be done. This is why I love when Jesus told the disciples that I must be about my Father's business, or not necessarily the disciples, but when they were looking for Jesus and he was 12 years old and they asked him, when they found him in the temple and Jesus was there educating and teaching the teachers, the adult teachers. And Jesus said, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? We have to be about the business of the Father. And that's what I love about Nehemiah. He was about the business of the Lord, because when the wall was done, yes, the people celebrated, but Nehemiah said there's still work to be done. And so you read chapter 7, what he begins to do is he begins to continue the process of organizing. He begins to appoint people who are going to stand guard at the gates to make sure that they're watching so that nothing happens. And then what Nehemiah does is Nehemiah finds the book of genealogy, which shows the family relationships and dynamics. And Nehemiah looks at the genealogy so that he will know who are the families and the people who have a right to the land there in Jerusalem. And so when you read through chapter 7, you will see a lot of names and family names and genealogies that's being given as Nehemiah continues to go to work. You also see how the people, he begins to give numbers of how many people were in the city and the gifts that the people gave towards the treasury as they continue to work together collectively as a team to rebuild the city. And then when we get to verse chapter 8, you all, something phenomenal, something dynamic occurs and something happens. The presence of God shows up through the power and potency of God's word. In chapter 8, for the first time in the book of Nehemiah, we are introduced to the character Ezra. And of course, many of you all may or may not know, but Ezra is a biblical character, and the book of Ezra occurs before the book of Nehemiah. In fact, the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, when those books were first completed and compiled, they were circulated as one complete copy, because when you read Ezra and Nehemiah, you see a lot of overlap that takes place, because Ezra, when you look at the book of Ezra and what the heartbeat and the focus of the book of Ezra is, the focus is on Ezra coming with Zerubbabel and the other people there to rebuild the temple. Because remember, you all, this is a critical time in the life of the nation of Israel, spiritually speaking. It is a time of darkness for the people. It's a time where the people have turned their back on the word of God. The word of God is not being read. The word of God is not being taught. The word of God is not being followed. So under Ezra and during Ezra time as a priest and teacher of the law, they were trying to focus on rebuilding the temple. Yes, that temple, Solomon's temple, that was destroyed under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar when the Babylonian Empire came in and they snatched the nation of Israel out of their native land and took them back into captivity. So when you look at Ezra, in the book of Ezra, it's focusing on when the Persian Empire now is the new world dominating power in that part of the world, and the people have received, that is the Jews, the Israelites, have received permission by King Cyrus to leave Babylonian, and to go back to Jerusalem to repopulate the land and to rebuild their life under the leadership, of course, of the Persian Empire. And as they start to rebuild their life, the central focus, as you know, of the Jews' life is their relationship and their covenant with God. And so in the book of Nehemiah, when we get to chapter 8, we read for the first time in Nehemiah about Ezra. And Ezra has a role to play, you all. He's there because Ezra wants the people to understand that you have forsaken God. You turn your back on him. But guess what? God is in the business of restoring. Y'all better walk with me right now. I serve a God that he is able to rebuild and restore anything that is broken and find itself out of commission. That's the type of God I serve you all. God is in the restoration building business. But you know what? Restoration can only take place. Reconciliation, spiritually speaking, to God can only take place when we open up our hearts and we begin the process of repenting to God and acknowledging before a holy God our error and our sins and our ways. And this is what we see happening in chapter 8, and this transitions over into chapter 9, which is we're going to focus on next week. But in chapter 8, the Bible says that Nehemiah and Ezra, they gather all the people together, all the men, all the women. This is a community affair, because what's about to get ready to happen is something where all the people need to be included, because this is going to impact the entire community. And the Bible says in verse 1 in chapter 8, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded to Israel. So Ezra is there. He's a priest. He's a teacher of the law, and his text, his book that he is using, is the law of Moses. Now, that could be the complete Pentateuch, which is the first five books of Moses, or he could be reading the law from Deuteronomy. Whatever the case may be, we know according to the scriptures that Ezra is there with all of the people as they are assembled together and community as a congregation in formation for what purpose, you all? To hear the word of God. They're not there to watch a movie. They're not there to hear the opinions of others. They're not there to hear who won between the Atlanta Hawks and the 76ers. They're not there to hear who won between the Brooklyn Nets and who they're playing against. They're there for one reason, for one purpose, and that is to hear the word of God. And the Bible says that the people stood there and Ezra read. He mounted the pulpit, because when you're reading it, you all, the Bible says that he stood on a wooden platform, you all. They constructed and built a platform or a pulpit. And Ezra in verse 4, it says, and Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they made for the purpose. And there was those who stood by him who were the Levites. And Ezra was there to do one thing, you all, and that is to declare the word of the Lord. Verse 5 says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And as he opened, out of respect, the Bible says that the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen and amen, lifting up their hands. Help me, Holy Spirit. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. We don't hear nothing about no singing, ain't no tambourine, ain't no drums, ain't no saxophone, ain't no flute. The people are just there right now as Ezra is about to read the word of God. There is something about the word of God that is so powerful that when read and it hits the ears, it does something to the sin-sick soul. There is something about the word of God that brings clarity, that breaks bondage, that breaks chains, that breaks generational curses. If we would hear the word, but not just hear the word, my brothers and sisters, but that we will apply and obey the word of God. Every aspect of it. Because see, the nation of Israel, before captivity took place in Babylon and before the northern empire were taken into captivity and captivity by the Assyrians, oh, they heard the word of God, but the people were playing around and they did not hearken and their hearts were not right and they did not obey the word of God. This is why the nation of Israel found themselves in the position whereby they went from occupying the promised land to being snatched out of the promised land. See, I'm here to tell you right now, some of you all right now, you've been snatched from some places that God designed for you to be, but God had to snatch you from them places because you're not walking in the will of God. You're not walking according to the commandments of the Lord. You've got beside yourself. You've been lifted up with pride. You've become arrogant. You allow sin to creep in and begin to choke out the word of God and the spiritual vitality that the Lord had imparted unto you. But I'm here to tell you today that if you repent, if you acknowledge your sin, God stands ready to reconcile you and to restore you. The Bible declares and decree. In verse 8 says, they read from the book and from the law of God clearly, and they gave sense so that the people understood their reading. So what is going on again? Ezra and the priests, the religious community, they're there as the leaders. Ezra is reading the word of God. And as Ezra is reading the word of God, he stops and he pauses, and they have little breakout sessions where the Levites, where the priests are expounding and explaining to the people what Ezra is reading. What I mean expounding and explaining, he's helping them understand this is what God is saying, and this is how you apply it to your life. See, I'm here to tell you all again, don't read God's word for the sake of just reading the word of God. We have to read with understanding and clarity, and we have to also read for the sake of application, you all. We got to make sure we are applying the word of God to our life. The people were so overwhelmed, so caught up as the word of God was being read, that the Bible says that they became overwhelmed. Verse 9 said, and all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Why do you think they were weeping as they heard the words of the law, you all? I'll tell you why I believe they were weeping. I believe they were weeping because as Ezra read the words from the book of the law, I believe they were weeping because they were convicted, because they knew that they had not been following any of the commandments and the statutes therein in God's word that God told them, and that their ancestors agreed through the covenant offered at Mount Sinai that was ratified later on. They were crying because they knew that we have not been upholding our end of the bargain, and we have been sinning against a holy God. The people were so caught up that Ezra and the priests had to tell them, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. They wanted the people to be excited. Why? Because the word of the Lord, the presence of God, was in the process of being reintroduced back into this community of faith. Remember, you all, that these people were in an abject state. The walls were destroyed and down. These people were in a state of desperation, but at the same time, they were demoralized. Then here Nehemiah shows up in the form of hope, and the walls are rebuilt. And as the walls are rebuilt, I can only imagine that the people get a sense of pride, and pride from the perspective that they get hope because they were able to do something that they did not think they could do. They were able to do something that their enemies said they could not do. They were able to do something together as a community that was for the glory of God. And as they were able to do that, the people then started their journey of returning back to God and returning back to the ways of God. I'm here to tell you right now, when I look at what's going on in this land, I am convinced that there needs to be a revival and a returning back to the Lord. And I believe the first people who need to repent and who need to return back to the Lord are those who are professed believers. Because we have forsaken God, and we all, each of us, have turned our own way to follow after our own unselfish and sinful desires, and to follow after what the world tells us is the main thing. Let me tell you something. The main thing is that Jesus be lifted up and he be glorified. The main thing is that people will come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That is the focus, and that is the main thing. And my brothers and sisters, we have to get back to the main thing. And it starts with us recommitting ourselves and getting back to the reading and understanding of God's word. In the act of reading the word of God, we find out in verse 13, the Bible says that as they were reading the word, they found written in the law of Moses that the Lord had told them that there were festivals that needed to be observed during their time as they lived. And God told them what the purpose of these festivals was. And in this particular verse, the festival that they came across, because it was right during the time, that time of the year for them, was the festival of booths, or the festival of tabernacle. And what this festival was, you all, was this. God instituted a festival and said, listen, here's what I want you all to do. And this is not optional. This is not something I want you to do when you think you want to do it. God says, this is something you're going to do. And I'm going to command that you do it, and that your generation do it, and that the generations after that do it. God says, when I snatched my people out of Egypt, and I took them through the wilderness to eventually bring them into the promised land, God said, I had them live in tabernacles, or they lived in little tents. So God said, I want to remind you and your generation, so you don't forget about my goodness. I want you all to be in a state of reflection and remembrance of what I did for your ancestors and how I provided for them. So for 7 days, what all the people did was that they would construct and they would make little booths. They will get straw, they will get wood, and they will build these little tents and these little huts. And for 7 days, they will live out of these tents and huts to remind them of the goodness of God. And that's what we read about and what occurs when we're reading from verses 13 through verse 18. And the Bible says in verse 17, and all the assembly and those who had returned from captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. And there was a great, very great rejoicing. Wow. I'm going to read this again, you all, because y'all missed it. Verse 17 says, and all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. So in essence, what the text is saying is that what God commanded them to do in the word, they had not done it since the days of Joshua. Years had gone by, hundreds of years had gone by, and they were not even obeying the very laws and statutes that were written down that they were supposed to acknowledge and obey. But revival is on the cusp of breaking out because the word of God is being read. The word of God is being explained and expounded on, and the people are getting understanding. See, I have a great deal of respect for those leaders in the church who take time to study the word of God so that they can impart unto the people with boldness and clarity and understanding what thus saith the Lord. See, I like to hear them pastors who can take the word of God with humility, and who can teach in such a way that when it's done, you say to yourself, my Lord and my God. Lord, there's conviction that has set in. There's things in my life that I know I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing. Lord, forgive me for I have sinned. I like to hear those preachers who take the time to truly equip and pour into the individuals who God have brought under their care to really disciple them, you all. That's what it is about. That's one of the main things here at Out of Love Ministries that we emphasize. And one of the main things that I continuously tell our members and those who are connected to this ministry is that our ministry, the ministry that God has blessed us to be able to be partakers of, to be stewards of, our mission is to make kingdom-minded disciples of Christ. Our vision is to guide people to Christ, grow people in Christ, and go everywhere making disciples for Christ. We have a process at Out of Love Ministries of discipleship on how we move people from the continuum whereby they are maturing and looking more like Jesus in their thought, their attitude, and their behavior, because it is about making sure that we are growing spiritually and that we are applying the word of God to every area of our life and that we are making sure that we are imparting the word of God to others so that they too can be impacted. As we come back next week, we're going to look and see how the people of Israel were moved to the point of confessing their sin. And all of that happened, you all, because the stage was set by the proclamation and the reading of the word of God as the people's heart began to get touched and broken as they realized we have not been following the ways of God. My hope and my prayer is right now, right where you are, that if you do not know the Lord, my hope and my prayer is that there is a breaking in your spirit, there's a breaking in your soul, and that a desire would be there for you to want to get to know him as your Lord and Savior. My heart and prayer for you is that if you do not have a church home, that you will be connected to a community of faith, that God will lead you to a community of faith where you can grow in your relationship with him and you can grow in your relationship with others. That is my prayer for you. Because God can do it, and he stands ready. May God bless you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for yet another opportunity to study your word. Thank you for yet another opportunity to draw closer to you as we seek to look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.